that's about how impressed I am with your performance. Isaiah 64:6, for you ladies, since we're equal opportunity offenders, he uses this amazing language to say that our righteousness is as what? Filthy menstrual rags, bloody tampons. So what Isaiah is saying, or what Paul is saying, when you stand before God and God says, show me your righteousness. Here's my turd or my tampon. Here's what I have. None of you would be happy on your birthday if that was the offering. God is not pleased with religion. God hates religion. God despises religion. And I tell you this because if you only call sinners to repent of their sin and you don't call religious people to repent of their righteousness, you'll have a church that has no knowledge of the cross. Because what happens is when you call sinners to repentance, religious people like to stand off to the side and say, yes, those people are very sinful. They're not righteous as we are. When you then turn around to tell religious people to repent of their righteousness, you're calling them all to the cross. All to the cross. And the problem with the truncated gospel is Jesus died for sinners, yes, and the worst sinners, the guys who murdered him, are the religious people who believe that righteousness is attained through human effort and works. So let me tell you this. When you preach the cross, don't just call sinners to repentance. Call religious people to repent of their religious righteousness and see if they don't crucify you too. What we know then is that righteousness is gift righteousness. It comes from Jesus. Okay? It's a gift. This is what he says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to become sin so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Martin Luther calls this the great exchange. Jesus went to the cross, took all my sin. Luther goes further than most theologians and says he actually became the most defiled, despicable, disgusting, depraved thing in all creation. And he gives to me his righteousness, the great exchange. My death for his life, my sin for his holiness, my condemnation for his salvation, my separation from the Father for his intimacy with the Father. Paul says in Philippians 3, in that great section, he says, and I have obtained a righteousness that comes only through faith in Christ. Let me tell you what's so wonderful about this righteousness. There's so much. But two things I'll say. One, that righteousness is imputed and imparted. Imputed righteousness is your forensic legal standing, right? And the question is, when you stand before God, what will be on your resume? God looks at you and says, tell me why you are to be declared righteous. Paul says, I used to have a long resume. I was very religious. And now it has two words, Jesus Christ. That's what's on my resume. I stand before the Father. He says, okay, declare to me the source of your righteousness, Jesus Christ. That's it. I trust him. Finished work. I got a great gift. I'm taken care of. That's imputed righteousness. But in addition to that, there's imparted righteousness. And this closes what we'll call the gospel gap. The false, not false, but incomplete gospel is receive Jesus and then you get to die and go to heaven. It misses life. Okay? But that's where, because if you only focus on justification and imputed righteousness, then you don't know what you're supposed to do until you die and stand before Jesus to be declared righteous. But if you believe in imparted righteousness, here's what imparted righteousness is. It's for life. Here's what imparted righteousness brings. New heart, new nature. Do you know what that new heart, that new nature has? New desires. Desires for obedience and holiness and Jesus and Scripture and repentance and the Holy Spirit and ministry. New heart, new nature. That's the essence of the new covenant, Jeremiah says. New heart, new nature. And with that comes new desires. And with that comes new gifts to do ministry, spiritual gifts. This is all the work of the Holy Spirit. The source of imparted righteousness is the Holy Spirit. So new nature, new desires, new gifts. Not only that, new power through the Holy Spirit to live a new life with new instruction through the divinely inspired scriptures, with a new community as God's people, the church, with a new source of joy, a new source of purpose, and a new source of power. The result is that imparted righteousness allows the most exciting, passionate, fulfilling, thrilling, joyful life that is possible for any human being on the earth. And if you just say, get your imputed righteousness and go to heaven, you miss the imparted righteousness. You miss the joyful, obedient, fruitful, faithful life doing ministry with, for, by, like, through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all imparted righteousness. Theologically, we call it regeneration. When we say Jesus is my righteousness, we mean all of that. Justification and regeneration. Imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. Justified before God. Whole new life with passion and joy and purpose through the Holy Spirit. And a day when I get to stand before God and be declared righteous because of the finished work of Christ for a life that continues forever with Him. There's nothing that compares to this. There's nothing like this. No religion has a God this good. And one of the reasons we know that the Bible is not a myth is that no one would ever make something this good up.